You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show. My name is Shirley, and I am a clinical hypnotherapist here in Southern California, and a glitter and rainbow girl going way, way back. My specialty is actually working with the LGBTQIA community, the BDSM kink community, or anybody that doesn't feel like, you know, they don't have anybody to talk to. I am your tribe. I wouldn't have this any other way. Everybody should feel like they have someone to talk to. And if you don't feel like you have that someone to talk to, know that there are people out there that understand you and are there for you. So know that I am one of those people. And, you know, during these times, we kind of need to have a little fun and, you know, a little inspiration, maybe a little smile to your face, or maybe a little giggle to your heart. You never know. That's why we do this. That's why I do this anyway. So before we get started, all right, let's, you know, if you've been watching me for a while, these are the ways that I get my show started. If you haven't been with me, then you're going to love this because this is what I do. This is me. So I want to make sure that you are in a safe place. And by safe place, I mean, you're not driving. You're not working on a special report. You're not helping out your kids. You're not heavy machinery. You are in a nice, safe place in a chair with your buns down. Because it works so much easier if you're actually sitting. You can do this standing up, but I've noticed that sitting actually works a little bit better. So I want you to wiggle your toes. Yep, wiggle your toes. Wiggle inside your shoes, outside of your shoes. It's a little warmer here today where I'm at, so I am outside of my shoes, which is very normal for me. So now wiggle your buns. Come on, wiggle them. Wiggle your buns. That's what I said. Wiggle your buns. Squeeze them together. Come on. Come on. I do this because you can't wiggle your buns or even tell somebody to do that without a smile on your face. That's why we wiggle the buns. Now I want you to take a nice deep breath. And I want you to exhale it with a smile. Now, I want you to roll your neck just a little bit and each shoulder and follow that all the way down and all the way back up. And I want you to take one more deep breath. And when I say take a deep breath, I'm not talking about up here. No, 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 no. When I tell you to take a deep breath, I am talking your lungs from your abdomen. You fill up those lungs, because if you're taking a deep breath up here, that doesn't really count. So you want to make a nice, deep, wonderful cleansing breath. Hold it in. And this time when you exhale, exhale with an affirmation. I like to say I got this because that's what makes me feel better. For some people, it's, you know, we got this. For some people, it's I'm going to make it. Whatever little affirmation that you need to keep you through, you know, to get you, sometimes it's through the day, sometimes it's through the hour, you know, you do what you need to do. And for those of you that are my Patreon members, you know that I have my little affirmation discs and little discs on there, my dice and my discs that'll help you out if you need help with your affirmations. Some people just can figure out what they want to feel like all day long. They've got it down. Other people, not so good on the affirmation part. And once you figure out what that affirmation is, every single day, you put that, whatever that saying is, put it on a post-it note and put it everywhere. Bathroom mirror, kitchen, everywhere that you think you're going to see it. And when you see it, I want you to take that deep breath and, you know, exhale it and say it. And if you're working from home, it's a little bit easier. But even if you're back to work in a regular office or you have a job where you're outside the home, you can still do that. you know, you just have to not say it out loud usually, but you can take that deep breath and say that affirmation. If you're starting to feel really tensed up, do the wiggle your toes. Nobody can see you inside your shoes, wiggling your toes, wiggling your butt, unless you are really wiggling your butt, which I highly recommend, by the way. But nobody can see you do that. I've done it in my car stuck in traffic. If I feel like I'm getting a little out of control, you know, these are things that you could do that are important, you know, for you, you know, and in less than 5 minutes, and that's just because I've been talking, you have relaxed all of your muscles from your toes to your nose, a little up, rolling the shoulders always helps. Down, up, around, side, side. If you're with your family, you've got kids around, make them do it too. Kids get stressed just as stressed as you do. So it's important to make sure that, you know, that we're all getting, you know, relaxing those muscles. Which brings up today's interesting topic, because I was reading an article. I know, I read. But I was reading this great article, and I heard that after a long period of time, some people actually are more stressed out after they do long, like, extensive meditation than they are before they started. They felt worse. And, you know, it gave them racing hearts. It made their inner monologues go crazy. It brought up unpleasant memories, making people want to quit doing meditation or mindfulness altogether. There was a study done, and the article that I found showed 25% of people that regularly meditate actually overdo it to the point of just quitting. They would rather just not have to deal with it. So how do we make this mindfulness a helpful tool like it is supposed to be and not something that you want to run from? Because I'm all about making you feel better, about calming your heart and bringing you back to center. First, know that there are so many techniques out there that it's important to find the right one. You know, with what I like to call my Weeble Kung Fu, in my toolbox, I have so many different ways of doing relaxation that I generally teach my clients. Sometimes I have them here on the show, and, you know, including, you know, the breathing. I do body scans, you know, which it helps me know where my body's at, whether it's centered, whether something's a little off kilter, how my sensations are reacting. And that helps me know how I need to react and re-regulate myself. But that actually doesn't work for everybody. For some people, you know, you just have to figure out what works for you the best. Because, you know, of all the practices from meditation to mindfulness, they're meant to ground you and put you in the present moment. And what that does is that puts you in your current situation. Well, maybe you don't need to be in your current situation. Maybe you need to let that go just a little bit, you know. But when you are in that current, you know where you're at, you're centered. You're not wandering too far this direction or wandering too far that direction. You're bringing it back. It really does help you make better decisions. You know, and you'll notice that your thoughts, when they do start to wander, if you don't get control of it, you can either go way downhill or way too far up or too far down. And neither of those are good. That's why, you know, I tell people, you know, judge where you're at and don't get too, I have to do this every single day. And don't be like, this is an extra job. This is not an extra job. Mindfulness and meditation and, you know, keeping your body in check, These are things that are supposed to be, these are things that are good for you. That good for you. Not freaking you out, not, you know, anything else. Just supposed to help you. And we have to do them in balance, and we have to do them in moderation to promote the wellness. You know, some people can go past the point of balance that leads to distress. You know, the last thing you want is they turn you to turn your emotional inner dials up so far that it's hard to get balanced again. And all of your emotions, you know, are just jacked up to where the main ways of getting back down aren't healthy either. And then there are people, you know, well, when you get it to that far, you can actually have full panic attacks while you're supposed to be meditating. Who wants to have a panic attack while you're supposed to be calm? You know, this doesn't make any sense. And, you know, you turn those emotional dials up so far that you convince yourself that if you're not being calm, then you're not doing it right. Okay, you can't do mindfulness and meditation. You can't do it wrong unless you're worried about it, unless you're so worried about it. So don't overthink it. I know that sounds really strange that I'm telling you about mindfulness, not to overthink it, but don't. If you feel yourself kind of going a little direction or the other, and I've done it too, I have totally felt myself just kind of wavering off to the edge, and I'll start thinking, and I'll do my body scan, because that's what I like to do, and I'll feel a spot, you know, that I think I need to get myself back into, and then I'll feel myself overcorrecting. And you can't overcorrect. The minute you start to overcorrect, we're all in trouble. And a study that was done showed that 14% of people that meditate, like hardcore meditators, reported that they will overcorrect. And so while your mind is supposed to be calm and your subconscious is supposed to take the wheel and just let you go for it, they feel themselves overcorrecting. And it's the same thing of overcorrecting when you're in a car. Let's say you're in a car and you're driving on ice and you hit an ice patch and you overcorrect and you get into the accident anyway. Don't overcorrect. Just let it go. Others have the opposite problem and overprocess in the front of your prefrontal cortex and have less emotions. Again, this is bad. So you want to have too many. If you're overcorrecting in one direction, you may be undercorrecting in another. So again, this is bad. So what I'm telling you is moderation. Absolute moderation. The main study, to be honest, the main study said they took a bunch of people and they put them in a 8-week mindfulness class. These were all volunteers. They had them in this 8-week mindfulness class. And they found out that people that meditated more than 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, tended to have the worst sleep quality ever. How about that? By over meditating, and it was the same type, that they tended to have the worst, where you would assume that they would have the best, but they were overcorrecting. They were spending so much time concentrating on doing it right and trying to do what people thought they should be doing, or feeling how other people thought they should be feeling, that they lost it. And that's not how this sort of thing works. When you're doing mindfulness, you're just trying to get yourself back to where you can feel calm again. You know, I do so much deep breathing, but if I feel like I'm a little off kilter, I'll go do something else. Breathing, as much as most of the time it works really well for me, sometimes not so much. Sometimes I need to, correct and do something else. Like I said, Weevil Kung Fu, so many things in your toolbox. We have the 3-2-1s. We have, and if some of these things don't sound familiar, all of the podcasts and all of that stuff, all of my shows are on my Facebook page, my YouTube page, or they're getting onto my YouTube page. And these are all listed under podcast too, if you just want to listen. And you get the idea of the different little tricks that you can do. So don't do the same thing every day. A lot of these people were meditating for 30, 40 minutes. It's like, you're not, that is way too much. Because first of all, well, in some ways it can be okay, but not consistently 5 days a week. And I figure most people don't usually have that amount of time to do it anyway, so they feel rushed. And you should never feel rushed when you're going into mindfulness, or when you're into meditation. Now, I also love to teach people self-hypnosis. It's another way of relaxing. It's another way of knowing what needs to be done, and how you can take care of what you're doing. I recently looked into a training because I love to take additional trainings to teach everybody and my clients. And it was about a different breathing technique because I love teaching people how to do proper breathing for health. Makes sense. Well, this training was so extreme to me that these people they figured you could pretty much survive just on proper breathing. If you knew how to breathe right, if you knew how to do everything right, then you could pretty much survive just on proper breathing and your body will take care of itself. Anything that extreme, you have to worry about, which is why I also tell you constantly, is that if you're going to find a trainer or a counselor or a therapist, talk to that person before you ever start. You're allowed to interview them as much as they're allowed to talk to you. As a therapist, we talk to our clients and we decide whether it's a good fit. Well, I want you to be able to feel like it's a good fit. Because if it's not a good fit for you and you just have a feeling, just that little tiny inkly feeling, don't do it. I read all the information and I've read other people's information on trainings and went, and I've read some and I've went, that is incredibly fascinating. And gotten a lot out of it, but I read up on it before. Especially, you kind of have to worry because if the person, you never know whether the trainer is actually doing what they're teaching or whether they're just paying to teach you. So do some background, because if you're having anxiety attacks to the point while you're in mindfulness, a mindfulness state, where you're just supposed to be calm and bringing your breathing down and, just letting your body relax, that is the last place that you should have an anxiety attack. That is the last place where, this study showed that 25% of regular meditators quit after a certain amount of time because of the anxiety. The anxiety of meditating. When I saw the article, I was like, how can that even be possible? And there it was, the tools that are supposed to help you sometimes don't. And it's like everything else in moderation. It's everything else. You can overdo anything. You know, these researchers do the tests, and I don't know what the circumstances were that these people were meditating on. I have no idea. I have no idea what their surroundings were, but I know that certain people have personalities where, you know, you can overdo anything. There are certain things that I've been known to overdo onto. So, you know, we just do what we do. But with mindfulness, I don't think mindfulness, and you have to do what's there to promote your greater well-being. You know, what's better for you? What is the main way? We don't want things to backfire. You know, the main ways things can backfire, they can become overwhelming. Anything can become overwhelming if you're concentrating too hard on it. Or you set yourself a specific time and you say, okay, on 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, I meditate for an hour. Well, maybe you had a bad morning. Maybe something ran over. And now you're worried that you're not going to be able to fit it into your specific time slot. Okay, so now you're worried about that. Okay, so now you're stressed before you go into your time when you're supposed to be calm. Does that make any sense? No, it does not. So that's why I tell you, you know, don't be calm. Be calm. Don't go into it if it's not right. If, you know, on your schedule, it says 2 o'clock Tuesdays, I have to meditate for 20 minutes. Well, if that doesn't work for you, then it doesn't work. Maybe you have to put it off till later. Maybe you just can't do it that day. That doesn't make you a bad person. That just makes you somebody that's busy. Maybe overextended yourself. Maybe life happened. You know, sometimes life happens. And when life happens, there's nothing we can really do about that. But you don't beat yourself up for it and go, okay, well, because I couldn't do this and I didn't do this and I wanted to do this. You know, some of us have lives, some of us have kids, some of us have two businesses. You can put it down as a reminder to take care of yourself. A lot of the breathing and stuff that I do and the body scans, I'll do, you know, in the shower at night or after I lay down. Because maybe I didn't get to it during the day. Doesn't make me a bad person, just makes me really busy some days. And I'll think about it. And I'll periodically remind myself that this needs to happen, but that doesn't make me a bad person. That just makes me me. And that shouldn't make you feel distressed either. There's a balance. And when I talk about mindfulness and I talk about meditation and taking better care of yourself, it's about taking better care of yourself. Some people I know tell me, you know, I'm taking better care of myself, but then they tell me everything else that they have going on and all the stresses. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like taking better care of yourself now, does it? So know that you can do this without having panic attacks, without wanting to never do mindfulness again. And mindfulness can be anything from closing your eyes and slightly meditating. People meditate through art. People meditate through reading, through journaling, through taking walks in the woods. I met a young girl last week who told me that she doesn't like to sit in her room and meditate, but she loves to go hiking. I'm like, it sounds like meditating to me, because that's the thing, is that that's your time. That's your time to just let your mind go. So there's no right or wrong. And if somebody tells you their way is the only way to get into pure mindfulness, then step away. I tell you that I have my toolbox. I have my toolbox. I'm constantly adding to it. And if something in that toolbox doesn't help me out, I open it up, throw it out. I don't need anything in there that's going to complicate my life. And neither do you. And the nice thing is that you can do these things with your kids too. If you have kids at the house, you know, set up a time where they're zero electronics, maybe. You know, see if they want to color or play outside, or, you know, just get away from the noise. Get away from the noise. Go to the park if you have one clear by. Go take a walk. You know, we can go out more than we ever could in the last year and a half. Some places you still have to be careful, depending on the age of your kids. A lot of them still can't be vaccinated. So please, please be careful when you have those. If you have a big backyard, that's the best. But so yeah, please be careful when you have kids. Or if you haven't been vaccinated, I would, you know, that's just me telling you to please be careful. But we can go back and, you know, do more stuff than we could before. So take advantage of the fact that you can go back outside and take those walks, because maybe you don't like to journal. Maybe you don't like to do, you know, any of the things that I've brought up, you know, or you don't, you know, you're just not ready. Okay. I can't force you. What works for me rarely works for anybody else. Think about that. What works for you will rarely work for anybody else. Maybe you find a group on Facebook. It sounds kind of weird, but you don't have to do. I've done group meditations and group mindfulness classes and groups online, and everybody's on the computer screen. And we're alone and we're together at the same time. How fascinating is that? Because we all have a general interest. You know, we all want to go on a guided journey. Guided journeys are like the greatest meditation to me. And they've never given anyone, you know, any type of panic attack or any type of, oh my God. So, you know, be aware that if you're doing meditation and doing mindfulness training is making you more panicked, then you're doing it wrong. Okay? That means that you're trying too hard. You know, let yourself get out of your comfort zone maybe a little bit, but if it feels wrong, then find another way. You know, go back and listen to other shows or email me and ask me, you know, what can I do? I'm always available. I'm always available online, on pretty much every platform. But you can always email me and ask me, you know, what show or what advice. I always see clients, things like that. Because I want you to get the most out of taking care of you. And that, I don't think that's a bad thing. As your hypno fairy godmother would say, I don't think that's a bad thing. You taking care of you. Now that we kind of got taken care of that, we are still in Pride Month. And I love Pride Month. It's one of my favorites. Working with the LGBTQIA community. You know, and there are still many events. We still have 2 weeks to go. But I wanted to do a couple little things for Pride at the end of today's show. So, and there are still some Pride events. Now, I live in the Los Angeles Long Beach area. So a lot of the events that I have listed are from this particular area that go from the valley all the way into Long Beach. All you have to do, depending on where you live, because I know that some of you don't live anywhere near here. So all you have to do is go on your little computer and type in Pride events near me, and you will most likely find an event or six. And some may be close, some may be a little farther away, depending on where you live. Now, a lot of smaller communities are starting to have Pride events, which I love, because they're starting to realize that they don't have to be quite as inclusive. You know, you can support everybody in your community, and it doesn't mean they're a bad community. It just takes, or why don't you try to open up things to your community? You never know. One of the little communities by where I live, it took one person wanting to fight city council to put up a pride flag in downtown. And now they have a little tiny pride event that's, I know it's going to grow. I know it's going to grow. I have every, you know, and it took one person. You could be that person. So, you know, the best thing is to do that and to keep checking, because like I said, everything keeps moving. More events keep popping up. There are events that aren't on my list. There are events in Sacramento this weekend. There's a San Francisco event if you're up in San Francisco. There's a painting event. Some are outside events. There's a Santa Monica Pride that's been going on and will be continuing having different events through the end of the month if you live in that general area. A couple different things in Santa Monica, actually. A lot of stuff in Los Angeles. The important thing there is to just find out which part of Los Angeles. I will be at an event on Saturday in Long Beach and playing at an event on Sunday in Corona. So I'm going to be all prided out this weekend. I'll tell you what, there's even an event in Downey, which is another one of the smaller towns that has decided that they're ready to go for it. Now, some events are still strictly online, so remember that. A lot of them are half and half, so they're kind of, some are hybrid, some are strictly online, and some town or some little towns have decided that as long as you follow their rules and their precautions, they're ready to just go for it. And I'm hoping that by next year, pretty much everybody will have their events, you know, but you never know. And like I said, along with going out and taking, you know, take precautions, know the event rules. This is what's important. If you're going to go to any event, I don't care whether you're going downtown or you're going to downtown Pride, know what the rules are, because if you don't, you're going to get there and you're going to be all sparkled up and ready to go and ready to have fun. And they're going to tell you, you can't come in because maybe you do need a mask for that. Maybe they don't allow wings that big. You don't know what the rules might be. So please take into consideration that that could happen. So once you find an event, click on it and it'll tell you all the rules of the road. Some it's just show up. Some are free, some cost. Again, know what you're going to do. But on a sadder note, extremely, one of the things that I wanted to do that mean a lot to me is that on a little more mournful note, according to the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, there have been this year so far 28 beautiful transgender people that have not made it to Pride this year. That is up 288% from last year. We are on a record. These are people that have been killed by friends, or not by friends, but by family, acquaintances, some by friends, partners, strangers. And these are just the people that we know about. Just the people that we know. Some have been misidentified because they are transgender. Some have had their crime misidentified as a hate crime. We need to step up for our transgender family members, our transgender youth, and it doesn't matter whether you're Black, Latinx, white, everyone is in danger and everyone needs to step out and step up. So I'd like to end the show today with the names of the 28 beautiful, beautiful souls that aren't making it to this month's Pride. So while you go out and you party and you celebrate what you have as far as rights go, know that people died for those rights. And so this is the part of Pride that I say, you know, this is the remembrance part. You get the party and the Pride. This is the remembrance. So please, please remember these people. Tyana Alexander, Chicago. Samuel Edmond, Puerto Rico. Bianna Muffin Banks, Atlanta. Dominique Jackson, Mississippi. 50 Benz, Louisiana. Alexis Kimmy, Miami. China Carrillo, Pennsylvania. Jeffrey J.J. Bright, Pennsylvania. Jenna Franks, North Carolina. Diamond Cree Sanders, Cincinnati. Rayana Pardo, Los Angeles. Jada Peterson, North Carolina. Dominique Lucius, Missouri. Remy Fennell, North Carolina. Tiara Banks, Chicago. Natalia Smut, California. Iris Santos, Houston. Tiffany Thomas, Dallas. Carrie Washington, Florida. Jahari D'Alto, with Boston. Whispering Wind Bear Spirit, Pennsylvania. Sophie Vasquez, Georgia. Danica Danny Henson, Baltimore. Serenity Hollis, Georgia. Oliver Ollie Taylor, Oregon. Thomas Harden, South Carolina. Poe Black, Southern California. These beautiful people, these are people in our family. These are part of the LGBTIA community. If you see them walking around, if you see anybody in the community walking around that looks like they might be in danger, ask them if they're okay. What does it take? You know, if somebody looks like they may need some assistance, ask them. The best, you know, they may tell you that they're just fine and everything's okay. We celebrate Pride every year, but sometimes we forget that there's a whole other side that doesn't just happen in the month of May and June. That, you know, there are laws out there. This is a little more political than I usually get, but there are laws in almost every state against our transgender youth. There are laws in almost every state discriminating against transgender people. This has got to stop. They are part of our community, and we tend to write it off. And that's something that we just can't do. Pride is a time to remember. Pride did not start at Stonewall. Pride actually started way before Stonewall. That's about all people know. It started, in the 1940s, and people were having parades on the West Coast and riots on the West Coast, in different areas. People were having, police riots on the East Coast, which is why you see the symbol that says, the first pride was a riot. Well, it was a riot, and it was for, it was for equal rights. And these equal rights, these were all started by transgendered women. These were all, we all know about Marsha P. But what about the other beautiful transgendered people that aren't with us anymore, that also fight for your right to party? They fought for, not getting rousted by the police so that you could have your parade. In San Francisco, there were a couple groups that got together and, started having little parades. The flag that, the pride flag, was first done in San Francisco, where they were having riots and they were having fights and they were fighting for their right to even walk down the street without being attacked. So, I know that this isn't the usual happy clappy way that I, do my show, but I think it's important when we talk about pride that we talk about both parts of pride, that we talk about the groups that, took it upon themselves to go, we're not going to take this anymore. And I see, I see the next generation coming up. I was in kind of a middle generation of pride where we were kind of unsure as to what was going to happen. And the scene was still a little jumpy. And I see this next generation and I have so much hope because they're like, we're not taking this anymore. We're not doing this anymore. We're not taking this anymore. This is how it's going to have to be. And they're not going to, they're fighting for pride. They're fighting for pride in themselves. They're fighting for pride in our community. They're fighting for other people that may be transgender or that fit under any of the other beautiful letters of, the LGBTQIA community. And all the other letters that I miss when I say that, there is zero disrespect for you. Sometimes my brain doesn't work in all of you, all of the letters. But, I see all of you out there. I see every one of you in the parades that I've seen. Those millennials and those right under millennials that are like, this is who I am. I'm not going to fight it. We hope that they have more understanding parents than others had. But that's the other thing, homeless youth. We need to watch out for our, our trans youth and our homeless youth. because although some of us are lucky enough to have parents that were understanding and caring, there are still parents that don't understand and would rather kick out their, you know, their child than deal with it. We need to watch out for them too. So if you're feeling it over Pride Month, you know, instead of going to one more bar for Pride, maybe take the money that you were going to spend and, you know, donate it to one of the centers. You know, donate it to a youth group. Donate it, you know, see how it's going. There are a lot of corporations right now that, you know, it's easy to check to see who supports LGBTQ rights and who doesn't. You know, you can support a corporation through your dollars, or you can go against a corporation with your dollars. That's how they know whether they're supported or not supported. You know, if enough people quit buying from them, they will either change their ways or they will go out of business. You notice that more during this Pride Month, during the May, June, July, usually May and June, you'll see a lot of networks or a lot of companies that have little Pride symbols. And make sure that it's not just during 2 months that they support our causes. Make sure that they actually support politicians, or not even politicians, that they support organizations that support us. There are certain places that will always support rights, and there are certain places that I was reading this morning that, you know, of three or four different companies that have decided to put their foot down and they are so anti-LGBT. I'm like, okay, those go on my list of places I will not support. That is my choice as somebody that wants to only support those companies that support the people I love. Now, how you spend your pride is how you spend your pride. I go out just as much as anybody else. Like I said, I'm going to two events this weekend. And I can't wait because I'm getting out and I'm getting to go with an organization that I love to be with. But, you know, this is how you support Pride Month. You support Pride by supporting the people in our community. Whether it's via parade, whether it's supporting them with your dollars, but it's also remembering. It's to celebrate what we have, but remember how we got there. It's so important to remember how we've been there, how we got to this, you know, how we got to all this. So, you know, I want us to take a little bit longer breath, just a little bit longer breath, and hold it. And know that no matter what your age, sex, color, or sexual representation that you may fit into, or any of the pride letters, or none at all, you are loved and you are wanted. So please, please be careful out there. Know that you can re-catch all of my shows, like I've been saying, on my Facebook page, my YouTube page, all of that. You can support my channel on my Patreon page if you need some affirmations or just want to check me out. And know that, you know, I'll be here next week, and please tell your friends about my show, and I'll have a little extra pride next week, and try not to make it quite so sad. But so Know that you are loved and cared for, and I promise I will see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio, with over 80 awesome shows. This is the station to listen to. Tune in to LA Talk Radio.